cannabis consumer data, cannabis consumer engagement, understanding how to engage, how to interact with the consumers and the operators in the industry. That's kind of what's top of mind for us. But
I have to tell you, I've done a couple of interviews with John, and I'm not trying to be critical here, Gary.
You want to say, as transparent as you want.
I think you are the hidden gem of the industry, and it's why I've been pushing to try and get more of your people on the show. And when we finish this interview, I want to talk to you briefly, plant an idea in your brain about how we can become your rodeo voice, and you can have a place on radio around the world working with us. But we'll talk about that later.
I would like to talk to you about that.
I think it's because I believe you're not as well known as you deserve to be. I have to tell you, I read almost everything that your company sends to me, and I can't use it all on the air, but I use it all as education and continuing education for me. I think the first segment, what I would like to talk about is I would like to introduce to my listeners, and I told your PR people that our major network in the month of August had us at about 800,000 downloads, and we are about to sign today a network of 165 stations all over the world, so that we will be the largest, most widely distributed show on cannabis in the world. And I really believe that.
Congratulations. There's
thank you. Well, it's what's happened is, if I don't know whether you listen to any of the shows, what people are saying, the quality of our program, the quality of the guests that we have, we don't play gotcha. We chose the conversation name very specifically because we wanted to have a style that was, if we were walking into your living room and sitting on the couch and simply having a conversation with you to learn more about what you know. And wherever you're, whether you're a grower, a packager, a distributor, a trimmer, a law firm, accountants, whatever, we've had them all on. And we consistently get people wanting to know when can they be back on again. So we have something that isn't hawking cannabis. We're not a lot of the shows just don't have the quality that we have. But that's enough. Let's start a conversation.
I listened to a couple of your shows. I've done a little research. The PR firm really keeps us informed on what we're about to do. So a couple of quick things for you. I think you're absolutely right. Inside the cannabis industry, we're not as well known as we should be. Our media reach outside of the cannabis industry is something like 15 billion. And so we get, I don't know, 3,000 press mentions a month. And so I agree 100%. So we're being recorded right now, but I would like to tell you this is one particular part is not for distribution right now, because we will make an announcement over the next kind of 30 days. But I have assumed the CEO role of the company. And Giada has moved up into the executive chair position. And my background in ad tech and some of the mature marketing technologies and banking and things, technologies that everybody on the planet uses is going to bring us out into that mature market a little bit more. And so that's why when I said, if we could talk about cannabis consumers, we also can talk about the connection of cannabis businesses to the operators and license holders, as we've just made a couple of major acquisitions. So I'm at your disposal and able and willing to talk on many topics.
That's just exciting. And so let's start a conversation, okay? And I haven't recorded anything you said yet. So when I tell you, when you hear the countdown, then
that last part is off the record until we make the public announcement.
I understand. I understand. Thank you. All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the conversation. And joining us today is a very influential person in the cannabis industry who I have gotten an opportunity to interview some of his people, but we get a chance to interview Gary Allen, who is the CEO of New Frontier Data. It's a company that a lot of people
so
in the cannabis industry.
A correction for you, Dan. Sorry.
Okay.
A COO at this moment.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right. Let me go back. COO. All right. We'll start over again.
Sorry about that.
No problem. That's my mistake, not yours. Welcome back to the conversation. Joining us today is Gary Allen, who is the COO of New Frontier Data. This is a company that I discovered a number of months ago that does a phenomenal work, and we're going to talk to Gary about what kind of work they do. But it was only by happenstance that I ran into his company. So we are so excited about having Gary on today to talk about his company and what it does, because we think the cannabis industry really needs to hear from Gary about this phenomenal resource of New Frontier Data. So with that said, Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sure. Thank you. Let's talk about where New Frontier Data started and what's it grown into to today.
Absolutely. So New Frontier Data was founded by Giada Aguirre de Carcer in 2014, primarily to answer the question, where is the vetted market research, as you would find in mature markets? In 2014, there wasn't that vetted research. And so Giada endeavored to create a technology, big data technology platform and research company that collected, vetted, analyzed, and then disseminated market insights to the industry in such a way that investors, researchers, and operators could all understand what was truly happening within the industry. So that's where we started. And over the past 6 years, we have grown to not only our original charge, which was to make the information more accessible and more professional, but we've expanded our reach to operate on three different continents, be the thought leader and a benchmark voice for Europe, Latin America, Asia, and, of course, North America. In doing all of that, we have really helped, I believe we've helped not only mature the industry, but grow alongside the industry and help define what are the success metrics of the industry. Everything from, I say a lot of times, power to pesticides. Right? We ingest data and analyze every piece of the supply chain from the investment all the way to the consumer. And over the last couple of years specifically, we've really taken hold of understanding and invested a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of people resources in helping identify who the cannabis consumers are, where they are, what is the sentiment of the industry, of the product in the industry, but also how are consumers truly engaging? There was a time in the industry where the belief that simply throwing a pot leaf or CBD acronym on your label was a marketing scheme. And what we've really tried to help the industry understand is that as this industry matures, just like the mature markets in the world, we're going to have to understand the supply chain. We're going to have to understand what consumers are interested in. We're going to have to build brand advocates. We're going to have to interact with the consumer market and the supply chain in a digital, seamless manner in order for the market to truly grow.
We have a longstanding relationship. Myself and on our program have a longstanding relationship with a major cannabis dispensary owner and operator in California, owns a number of dispensaries. And he and I talk all the time, and most recently we're talking about what's going on as a result of the pandemic. And he said that the next phase of the industry is going to be based on branding. We've had so many cowboys who, as you said, stick a leaf on it or put CBD in, and they sold it. And in 2019, when the vape crisis came, all of a sudden people began to say, wait a minute, this is a real business, but we don't analyze it as a real business. And so venture capital kind of shrank a little bit, and then we had the contamination problem. Then we came into the pandemic. And what's amazing to me is that the states, many of the states, if not all of them, classified cannabis dispensaries as essential businesses and allowed them to open.
That's right.
Under certain guidelines and restrictions. But they became important businesses to the community. On top of that, the last number I saw from the National Cannabis Industry Association, another partner of ours, they're telling us that they're projecting that the growth in the cannabis industry in 2020 will be 40% over 19. So in a terrible time, this industry is going to grow 40%. Imagine what it could have done if we didn't have the pandemic. But what's important about what Justin said to me about this brand is that the nature of the way the product is regulated on a federal basis makes it difficult to create a brand because you can only operate in your market. Now, there are some companies that are doing setting up separate companies in each of the states under the company name and are trying to create product that they can grow in each state and market in each state. But branding is something that this industry doesn't really understand yet. And you mentioned it, and let's talk just a moment about what you can do to help people with branding.
Absolutely. We approach the consumer part of the market and the branding with three concepts: discover, define, and then deliver. I think one of the reasons the cowboys, as you said, and I appreciate that, as we're called New Frontier Data, and our logo is a horse, so all it needs is a cowboy on top of it. But as the cowboy, as you mentioned, in the beginning, the pot leaf really did actually work, right? Because there was still that institutional friction that advocates really enjoyed to play off of. And what we're finding now, as you said, and I think it was really astute, that with the vape crisis, right, and then contamination issues that California and Colorado and Arizona have had, it really has shown a spotlight on two things. One, we need professionals in the industry that understand consumer safety. Two, we also need professionals in the industry that understand that consumers that are raising their hand don't necessarily, the consumers that are raising their hand today are not necessarily the consumers that you're going to engage with in the long term. And so you have to therefore discover who it is that you're actually trying to build a product for. And I use the word build in very intentionally, because just like any product in the mature market, we have to understand what are we trying to answer in the market? What is missing that we're trying to fill a need for? And that's with products, consumer products, as well as it is with business services. So we discover the consumers that we want to have. And one of the ways that New Frontier Data has really tried to help the marketplace is, and I don't know if you were aware of this, but in late 2018, early 2019, we produced the first consumer archetypes, and that was a result of 3,100 live, real true market research, 3,100 live 20-minute interviews with consumers, as well as the analysis of about $3.5 billion worth of transactions. And when you put a market research shop with the research resources that we have to that task, you come up with some really incredible results, right? So we had 9 consumer archetypes, and we started to get that out into the market and let people know, let marketers, manufacturers, extractors, white label operators, let them know, here are the types of consumers. We then set to the task of defining what, who those consumers truly are and defining where they are. And I, again, I don't know if you've seen any of this, but in early July this year, after about a year and a half of analysis and ingestion of data, we introduced a programmatic offering with the largest programmatic company in the mature market that identified 141 million consumers, probable consumers in Canada and the United States. And we get everything from, we help define everything from your top line demographics to their movement in and out of dispensaries to the products that they buy. And so that is really important for new market entry, as well as some of your existing brands that have been, that have really tried hard and have great brand names, but really haven't been successful in the sales, to then help them define, but then more importantly, deliver those customers to those brands. And so we can help brands, multi-state operators, chains of dispensaries, all the way down to the single licensed dispensary. We can really help them identify who their customers are and help deliver those customers to them. And then give them, because we are at our heart of market research and a technology company, we then give them the opportunity to get true predictability in their inventory buying and their growing, what they're going to grow next season. And we can give them true business insights as to how their individual businesses are operating and efficient.
I just want to make sure I heard correctly what you said there, Gary. That you work the whole continuum of people from big operator, multi-style operators, down to individual dispensaries. People can come to you for help?
Absolutely. We really do. We have a number of individual dispensaries now that we are helping with anything from predictability in their inventory to inventory efficiency and operational efficiency. Listen, the individual dispensaries, in the beginning of time, the dispensaries made a lot of money and they made a lot of cash. But operationally, the dispensary operation is a difficult and sophisticated operation to make truly profitable. And so and many of them can't afford technology backbone that New Frontier Data has. And so there's plenty of instances where we have allowed dispensaries to just give us their data, and we give them back. We give them back efficiency information, business operations performance. And in most cases, we don't charge anything for the small dispensary to do that at all.
Wow. So we've got about a minute left with this segment. excuse me, Gary, how do people get in touch with you and follow your company and look and find out information about your products and services?
Absolutely. So, you know, in your favorite social media, in New Frontier Data, info@newfrontierdata.com, sales@newfrontierdata.com. We have podcasts. We have weekly newsletters, daily newsletters. We're pretty accessible, and we really, our customer service and our customer facing team members are really engaged in the market and really enjoy talking to the market.
So we've been speaking with Gary Allen, the COO of New Frontier Data, an exciting company in the cannabis space. Thank you for joining us, Gary.
Thank you, Dan. Pleasure.
Excuse me. If you missed any of this terrific interview with Gary, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com and go to the archive section and listen to the complete interview and look for more in the future. This is Dan Perkins. We'll be right back. And now I want to talk about what you're seeing in the industry. We got 40% growth this year. We've got this Moores Act vote in a couple of weeks. Probably not going to go anywhere, but get the industry hyped up. What do you think is the growth? Are the growth prospects with the new states potentially coming on in November, and what could happen in 2021, what does your crystal ball tell us? That's what I'd like to talk about now.
Okay, give me 1 second. Can I have 1 minute to get that? Because I can get that from a guy real
Sure.
quick. Thank you. I need this. I give him 2 minutes to reply to me. Great thing about having a great research team is got this pretty much at my fingertips.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the size of your company in terms of personnel and disbursement of personnel.
So we have 33 employees full-time, probably 42 total with contractors. We have a small team in London of 3 or 4. We have a small team in Europe, in Italy and Spain of 3 or 4. A couple in South America, same in Brazil. We've partnered in Brazil. Lion's share of our team is in North America. Okay, you said give me 1 second. So we have, and then in the U.S., our team is about a third of our team is in Washington, D.C. We spend a lot of our time, historically, we have spent a lot of our time in the White House or on Capitol Hill. In the last year and a half, we haven't been in the White House, obviously, but we still spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill. And with its proximity to New York and in the world banking industry, this is a really good central spot for us. Our researchers they're in the predominant market. So we have researchers in California, we have researchers in Nevada, Colorado, Pennsylvania, New York, so that's kind of how we're spread out.
Okay, and are you based? You've got a 312. That's a Chicago number. Are you based in Chicago, or are you based in Washington?
Yeah, but I live in D.C. I just refuse. I'm 50 years old. I refuse to change my phone number.
I know. I'm the same way. I live in Florida and still have my Jersey cell phone number. I didn't change it. Let me know when you're ready to go.
Okay, I got it. Let's see. Let me tell you what I have, and see if this is what you're looking for. Okay, so I have growth of U.S. legal cannabis industry. It's the CAGR. The CAGR is a little smaller than you quoted, but it's not far off. It's about 33%, not exactly 40. I think we'll see 40 plus percent in some retail markets. Some of the larger retail markets, but some of the other retail markets that still aren't mature to drag that national average down. And then I have polling good in most states in the major states that we should look at.
I saw your report. I forget the lady's name who talked about, and the mature states. Had come through the pandemic and were up about 30% in sales, but some of the newer states were up dramatically higher. And I think she had a number of a close to 40%. But and the other thing
That was Jessica Billingsley of Akerna, and she's absolutely right through her seed to sale POS system. She's absolutely right.
Yeah. So, do you want to? Do you feel comfortable, since you say you're spending a lot of time with Congress talking about the Moore's Act and what's going to happen next week and after that, or would you rather pass that?
So I would not say that we spend a lot of time talking to Congress publicly, because most of them don't want us to mention that stuff. But yeah, we spend plenty of time, and I do have a really good cheat sheet on what we've done and what we expect. And then I have specific information about what's going to happen over the next month or 2 months with the election in those certain markets.
I'd love to start there and see what we do. Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, I'm going to start the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the conversation. And joining us again is Gary Allen, the COO of New Frontier Data. And this program will air just before the vote in the House on the Moores Act about descheduling cannabis. And I thought I would like to speak to Gary about what his observations are about what's going on in Congress and what's happening around the country about deregulation and expansion of the market. So welcome back again, Gary.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. So let's talk about the Moores Act and what your institutional vision is about what's going on there.
Absolutely. I'm bringing this just real quickly. So listen, the Moores Act is obviously, it's designed to decriminalize and potentially not only decriminalize marijuana use, and also rename it in the federal guidelines as cannabis instead of marijuana, but it's also intended to give the federal government and states the authority and the runway to annul those convictions and roll back those convictions for marijuana use. That's still pretty fuzzy as far as some of the larger possession convictions. It's also designed
right.
to put in some protections and pave the way for the Safe Banking Act and to allow the Safe Banking Act to actually be legal without the Safe Banking Act necessarily passing in and of itself. And so I think those are the two things that people are really focused on. You know, and the result of those things, marijuana being renamed in the federal government's cannabis sounds a little bit like splitting hairs, but it's actually not. And a lot of that is because of the inference that the word marijuana comes from, or that the word marijuana places on everything from the sale of it to a conviction because of the use of it. And then secondarily,
right.
really, once we have safe banking practices and acceptable banking practices that allow the industry to operate within the guidelines of our federal government, the industry is really designed. It's really set to explode from there.
Right. I would agree. I would say, not disagreeing with you, but taking a different position. As I look at the Moores Act, I think that the most important part, not the only part, but I think the most important part of this legislation is the elimination of 280E. Most people don't know anything about 280E as it relates to the cannabis industry.
Right.
And just to tell the audience, 280E is a provision of the Internal Revenue Code that does not allow cannabis operators to deduct normal operating expenses against revenue. So the tax liability of somebody who's in the cannabis business is incredibly high. And as you said in a previous show, the idea of making a profit is dramatically reduced by the tax liability and the cost of not being able to deduct the operating expenses. So that's part of this new bill. I started before the Democratic convention interviewing people about this legislation, which was supposedly coming out in a week or so, and I would say to you, Gary, that a lot of the people in the industry that I interviewed were very disappointed at the Democratic platform when the platform committee voted almost 2-1 not to include any descheduling of cannabis. And now recently, in the last few days, I've been seeing what they call rumors on the Hill that people who were supportive of the Moores Act, Denny Hoyer, in the House, is saying maybe this is not the best time because of the proximity to the general election to put this issue on the table. Now, the proponents are saying it's still on schedule, but we've got people talking about maybe postponing this because of the November election. If it gets postponed and the Democrats lose control of the House and President Trump gets reelected, then what's the likelihood of reform in the cannabis industry?
Well, I think there is a lot to unpack with that question. So a couple of things. One, the likelihood, so I think as New Frontier Data, as the CEO of New Frontier Data, and as Gary Allen, in my personal opinion, I think it's really important that we look at this through a very realistic lens. The idea that we're somehow going to get some national legalization and or descheduling in and or around the election is highly unlikely. The House is going to pass the MORE Act. We believe very, very strongly that the House is going to pass the MORE Act. We don't believe that the Senate, we don't believe that it will come to a vote. The Senate, the current Senate, will not bring it up, and they will not take it up and for a vote before the election. And certainly, you know, with the predicted chaos that everybody believes is going to happen in the political climate between, you know, November 3rd and January 20th, it's just going to be overcome by events. And I think it's just a very it's just a very realistic look at what's about to happen. All of that being said, this is 2020. And I don't think that's a fact we can ignore. Meaning, really, really strange things have happened this year with Kamala Harris really going after this as the former Attorney General of the fifth largest economy in the world and somebody who has been criticized heavily on her enforcement of these laws specifically, her voice can't be underestimated and how powerful it will be, especially as it growing over the next 60 days. So we don't believe this is going to get out of the Senate at all. We don't believe it's going to get on the Senate floor. However, with the Biden-Harris ticket saying that they're really going to take this on, it may just do that. All of that being said, we also believe that there is going to be a need for the safe banking portion of the MORE Act to be back into the Safe Banking Act, and we actually believe that may get through early in January. Or late in January,
Wow. Sorry,
when they come back in session. And if that happens, obviously that will open up the market. One other thing really important to understand as well is that with the number of ballot initiatives in November, you know, we are very quickly getting to that 2/3 majority, right? And listen, I'm not going to, you know, even approach what a 2/3 majority means constitutionally. All I mean that is that we may very well be at that tipping point. That again, 2020 is 2020. And because depending on how many of these states actually pass, Arizona is going to be a really important one to look at. It failed in 2016. Polling looks super strong right now that it won't fail. The pharmaceutical companies who are mostly, to blame for or credited with the opposition succeeding in Arizona of that recreational legalization, they seem to be taking a sideline approach right now. So if Arizona tips, that's a very influential state that has a very large mature medical market that could very quickly activate a recreational market. New Jersey is a very large Northeast market, very important Northeast market that looks to be ready to legalize and legalize quickly. South Dakota. There are very key states that if they tip, then 40 plus states in the United States will have access. And that will just further bolster the fact that, I don't know if you knew this statistic, 98.3% of all American citizens live in a place where they can legally access cannabis, either medically or recreationally. Sorry, that was a really long answer to your question, but I think it covered
it. That's okay. That's okay. No. So in the time that we have left, so with all of that chaos going on, what do you think 2021 and beyond looks like in terms of revenue growth in the industry?
Well, we have very specifically. We tend to be pretty accurate with our. We're looking at a little over just about 25 billion in 2021, right? A little over 20 billion mm-hmm. in 2020. We just a year and a half ago, we had projected that we had a projection that 2025 would be somewhere around 30 billion. We're now projecting 2025 to be somewhere about 36 billion. This is with our current market as it is. Now, if these states, these numbers will change dramatically. And if you don't mind, I'm not going to release those numbers on this particular program right now because we have not made them public yet. We're finishing up our modeling, but we do plan in the next 14 days. We do plan on releasing revised 2021 to 2025 numbers based on the states, a projection based on the states that we believe will go legal, and then right after Election Day, we will release a new one based on the states that did go legal. So there's a lot of exciting things coming.
So if you look at that, look at two things that happened in 2020, which we talked about a little bit once before. Many of the states where cannabis was sold either medically or recreational decided that these dispensaries were essential businesses, and they stayed open. They had certain delivery requirements, but they stayed open. Now the discussion is that as the industry is growing, the potential for tax revenue for the states is significant in helping them. And so my question to you is, in the minute or so we have left, how important is the idea that the tax revenue could be very important in this industry and getting things moved?
Well, I think that, so in the 1 minute we have left, how important is it?
Mm-hmm.
It could not be more important. Let me give you the quick analogy. Already cannabis is the fifth largest market of all major vertical markets in the world. Cannabis is the fifth largest most growing, and it's the fastest growing market. So if at around $30 billion, right, globally, there is a $344 billion opportunity in retail, right, which means mm-hmm. that there is between a $10 to $20 billion opportunity in taxation. And so mm-hmm. that's a significant revenue generator for each of the states, and at the aggregate for the federal government, that money, and most of the cannabis companies would like to obviously see that money go into the infrastructure and social programs that help some of the victims, if you will, of the drug war over the last 20 years, specific to cannabis.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Gary, we're out of time. We've been speaking with Gary Allen, who's the COO of New Frontier Data, a company that I kind of discovered and think is a terrific resource for us on the show. Gary, how can people follow the research and the things that you're doing?
Well, at any one of your favorite social outlets, at New Frontier Data is the easiest way. Info at newfrontierdata.com or sales at newfrontierdata.com. We have a number of newsletters. If you go to newfrontierdata.com, you can sign up for our Canna Week. We have podcasts. We're really accessible, and our staff and our team are really, they really enjoy talking to the market. So please come have a chat with us.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dan. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. This is a very unusual interview that we had, terrific interview with Gary. If you missed any portion of it, you need to go back to W420RadioNetwork.com. Go to the archive section and look for Gary and this interview. It's a terrific interview. So was another one we did. You'll find it extremely enlightening and discovering a company, as I did, who has tremendous expertise in the cannabis space. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're done. Now let me tell you what my vision was or is for our relationship between the two of us, two organizations.
Sure.
I would like to identify New Frontier Data as a content provider and offer to you or any of the other people a pre-reserved slot for 13 to 15 minutes that you can talk about whatever you want to talk about that's important or that will help people begin to understand, especially the people in the industry, who you are and what you do and why they should be talking to you. We would do it probably once a month to start with, and then at some point in time, we need to talk about promotion of your subscription services where you actually get paid to provide this research, and we can talk about an advertising campaign to do that. But my first question is, does any of that tickle your fancy?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the content provider, we're about reach, right? We're all about reach and professionalism, and your show is incredibly professional, and you have a huge reach. So, yes, we would be more than,
yes,
we'd be more than happy to do it, and we'd be happy to partner with you.
So can you and I, not today, but within the next week or so, we're going to celebrate our first anniversary the first week of October. We would like to work together with you to, during that week, issue a press release of the two operations working together to bring more information to people in the cannabis industry. Is that something that we could do together?
Sure. Let me ask you a quick question as you think about that. Do you have election-specific coverage? You know, have you been planning for election-specific coverage? Because we are, starting next week, man, we're doing six straight weeks of huge election news and data.
We're concentrating the show that you're going to be on, which will air this Saturday, is starting our coverage on the vote on the Moores Act. After that, then we won't be a hard news election news situation, but would love to have you or whoever come on and talk.
Yeah, we'll be content in context, not hard news.
I would be very interested in talking about that
Okay.
See if we can't work out
something. What do the commercials look like for you? I mean, is this a paid spot or is this just a content contribution spot for both of them, for us?
Well, right now, the contribution which for content would be free of charge. If we're going to start promoting some of your for-pay services, then we would want to talk a campaign of how we do that. Now, I don't know whether you know or not, whether I know I mentioned this to your PR person. Just to give you, to just take a moment, we started this program on October the 5th, was a pure podcast. And my partner and I were very concerned about the quality of the product, so we took no advertising through the end of the year. At the beginning of 2020, we added AMFM 24/7. Which is now giving us close to 800,000 listeners a month. We have a Global Enlightenment Network, which is 25% of its audience is overseas. By the way, our AMFM 24/7 is about 10% international. And now we're about to, and we also have, SoundCloud and Spreaker and all the other traditional distribution. We are about to enter into an agreement with another network that has 165 stations, both domestically and internationally. And so we'll know at the end of probably the end of the fourth quarter how much reach this network has expanded to us. But we know that on this 165 station network, they have no shows on cannabis whatsoever. So they're very excited about the opportunity. One other thing, you asked me to keep something under my hat. I'm going to ask you something, tell you something to keep under your hat. We're in discussions at the moment. I don't know where they're going, but we're in discussions with Sirius Satellite Radio, which is 55 million people. And they do not have a show on cannabis on there.
That's awesome. Congrats. I will keep that under my hat. But we're in. We worked with Cannabis Radio last our 3 years ago and freaking hated it. And I've known Brandy and Darren for 20 years. We've shied away from this medium. But like I said, when they offered me that, they asked me to do this interview last week, I did take the opportunity to listen to a couple of your shows, and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. It's very professional. It's very reachable. John had many good things to say about you, and so as I step into my new role, I think this would be a great first step, right? As I'm doing what I'm doing, for us to make a partnership and for us to expand each other's. To help each other expand each other's reach, I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Right. So what I'll do is I'll probably early next week I'll set up a time to just have a conversation. We'll try and flesh out some details on this and make it happen.
Perfect.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah,
have a safe weekend.
Great.
Thank
you,
sir.
Too.
Take
look
care.
Look forward to talking to you again. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye.